You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports and Network. As we've got your back on this Thanksgiving Thursday, we're heading to the half right now. Paul Bovey's going to step up and in and join us in a couple of moments' time. We'll see if we can get you a halftime number and maybe a halftime selection for the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions game. We're going to break down the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Redskins. The Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Andrew Luckless Indianapolis Colts. Scott Tolzien will be the starting quarterback tonight. You look at Tolzien's numbers when he's been on the field, not good, man. Guy's got five interceptions and one touchdown pass. He's been around forever. I just don't get it and why the Indianapolis Colts insist on always having crappy backup quarterbacks. Hasselbeck actually saved their ass in the past. He's not there anymore. You're not allowed to play in the National Football League when you're 92 years old. All right, so there's a ton of stuff we got to get to. We're going to do DFS. We got props. We got bets. We're focusing in on the National Football League. Like I said, we got halftime, so Paul Bovey's going to step up and in. Chris Meany's going to join us. We'll hit some fantasy. We'll talk some props. We'll sort of mix it in all together. SportsMemo.com's Babano will join me. And we'll break down the 104th edition of the Grey Cup as the Ottawa Red Blacks and the Calgary Stampeders face off. Red Blacks heartbroken, of course, last year in the Grey Cup. They were getting nine. It's up to 9.5 right now. The Calgary Stampeders have been a juggernaut, man. 14-5 against the spread in the 19 football games played this year. So we break down the Grey Cup with Babano. So let's get right down to business, man. You know, we talked about this yesterday. It's a great weekend, man. College football rivalry weekend. We got massive games in the National Football League right now. We got first place throwdown as we speak between the Lions and the Vikings. The red hot Redskins take on the juggernaut that is the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of sucks that Andrew Luck isn't playing tonight, but whatever. I'll take the money and I'll make some money on the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight anyways. So it was so much football, and football has been criticized a lot this year professionally, but it's getting good, man. It's getting real good. College football off the freaking hook, man. You know, the election fallout continues. People are still bitter or overly celebrating. The election talk still continues, but looks like football starting to rise like a phoenix from the ashes. But with all this going on, maybe you're not paying attention to what's going on in the National Basketball Association as things got crazy, man, last night. All right, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland Cavaliers were hosting the Portland Trailblazers. They went freaking off, man. Kevin Love scored 34 points. What a win. Great game. Great game by Kevin Love. He scored 34. They put up 81. Oh, wait. Kevin Love scored 34. What? He did what? It's one of those deals, and I don't fall for that very often. He did what? When I saw Kevin Love trending last night, I was like, what's going on with Love anyways? 34 freaking points. 34 points in the first quarter of play. 34 points in one quarter. What blows my mind, it's not even a record. Klay Thompson dropped 37 on Sacramento last year in the second quarter of play. It's the most points ever in the first quarter. The Cleveland Cavaliers dropped 16 freaking three-point shots, man. 16 three-point shots. They were dropping more bombs, and it was heavier than the new Metallica record. You know, across the board. Meanwhile, not to be done, outdone, out west, you had the Golden State Warriors. And don't think for a second they didn't notice that the Cavs put up 81. They, you know, they didn't want to get outdone. Well, they ended up putting up 80. Yet they ended up dropping a buck 49 when it was all said and done. A three-ball machine are the Golden State Warriors right now. Yet they put on like a Harlem Globetrotter-like clinic last night. Like a Harlem Globetrotter-like passing clinic, man. You know, they had like, I believe it was 27 assists in the first half. They ended up the game with 47 freaking assists. Like, they're not just like, you know, selfish players. They're firing around the freaking lot right now. Now, I don't think you need Biff's Sporting Almanac. And, you know, I wish I had Biff's Sports Almanac. Like, really? And if you didn't know, and you haven't figured it out yet, yes, it is true that Donald Trump is Biff. He is Biff from Back to the Future. Back to the Future said that Biff is modeled after Donald Trump. So essentially, Biff is president right now. And Biff got rich because of the book. Well, I don't think you need the book right now to tell you that the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, they're on a collision course right now to throw down in the NBA Finals once again, and it's going to be freaking epic. Now, listen, the LA Clippers, the San Antonio Spurs, the Toronto Raptors, they no doubt all have something to say about it, and they're all very, 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 very good teams. But you know what the difference is between good is? Great. And the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers aren't just good, but as Tony the Tiger would say, they're great! Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of the program, where we hope you're enjoying your day if you have the day off. Either way, we hope that you're watching us right now. I had like a ton of tweets this morning. Morenci, who do you like in the games today? Who do you like in the games today? I told them, watch the damn show, or at least watch the videos that we post after the show. It's like producing a movie and then telling everybody the script on Twitter before you go to see the movie. Yeah, like, you know, we're not getting paid big bucks to tweet you our picks online. Watch the show. But what's cool about this is we got a halftime number right now since we are live, so let's get right to this. It's actually settled in right now at a pick. So the game's 10-7 right now. It's 10-7 at the half for the Detroit Lions. The second half is a pick 'em. The total is at 21.5. I like the Lions coming into this game right now. You know, it was 2.5, so now it's basically 3. You know, the Lions look good early. It looked like they might be able to. It looked like it was going to be a high-scoring game, actually. There was 2 quick touchdowns in this football game, 7-7 after the first quarter of play. But things slowed down after the fact. So let's bring in Paul Bovey right now. We'll get his halftime take, and we'll jump right into the later NFL games today. Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Gabe. How you doing?
It's always a pleasure. I think this might be the first time that a host on a Fantasy Sports Network placed a bet live on the air. So, yeah, we got it. We got a piece of it. I can't help myself. I like Detroit to win this game. You know, all their games do come down to the wire, but you know they look good enough in the first half. I think they can seal the deal in the second.
I agree with you, Gabe. I think they're getting the better of it. There's guys roaming free in the secondary. Stafford's missed a few guys. Just a close connection, but just didn't fire off. And you look at the Vikings, they're injured on the offensive line. I think Detroit's getting the better of it. But the key here is Detroit is running the ball. They've had struggled with that for the past, for the season. And last week against Jacksonville, I know it was mentioned, they ran for 14 yards, and I think it's held Stafford's numbers down. Look, when you don't run the ball, guys are just teeing off. And I think that with Detroit running the ball, they're going to be able to score some points.
All right, Paul, so let's jump into the Dallas-Washington game. The number was 6.5. It hit 7, but it's fallen back down to 6, at least in most spots offshore right now. Redskins are in a tough spot, man. They played Sunday night, and now they're playing, you know, Thursday afternoon. You know, the NFL's got to figure something out with this schedule. I don't know how they can put the Redskins in this position. But in a similar situation to Seattle, when you remember a couple of weeks ago, Paul, Seattle played the Monday nighter against Buffalo. Then they played the Sunday nighter in Foxborough against the Patriots. And a lot of people use that against the Seahawks, making the case against the Seahawks in that game that it was, you know, coast to coast, shorter preparation a week. This is a little bit different scenario, but when it's a game, man, when it's a Super Bowl rematch like that was, or it's a rivalry game like this, I think the adrenaline carries them through. And the Seahawks said that actually after the game, that the adrenaline of playing the Patriots, you know, sort of made up for the short week. And I sort of expect the same for the Redskins. But the Cowboys have covered 9 straight games. Paul, what's your take?
Well, look, as far as your point goes on the rest factor, The Redskins played Sunday night. It's not like they played there was a huge disadvantage there, and the Cowboys played Sunday as well. So it's just that the Redskins get the worst of it by a few hours. Yeah, the Cowboys have covered 9 straight games. I lean to the Redskins here. The Cowboys, since they lost those members of the secondary, they've only been tested once. The Browns didn't test them, and I don't feel the Ravens tested them last week. I think the offense bogged down. Play calling was atrocious. And the Ravens committed 12 penalties for 136 yards. No PIs in there. So it was all bonehead roughing calls, and it held down their offense. But you look when they played the Steelers without those members of the secondary, Roethlisberger absolutely carved them up. Over 400 yards on 80% completions. I think it's going to open up some running lanes today, and I think that, look, the Redskins have weapons. No question. Jordan Reed, they've got a couple great receivers, and Crowder. I think that Washington's going to score some points here. Do I want to go over the 52, 53? Look, I went over 51. What concerns me is here that the public is huge on the over. The first tick on this line was 49. It's up to 52.5, 53 at Bovada, and that always concerns me a bit.
Yeah, I know there is. And, you know, it's hard to argue against it. Now, they played in week two. It was 27-23, so they got to 50. We should note the Washington Redskins are 8-2 to the over through 10 games this year, guys. 8 of the Redskins' 10 games have cashed an over ticket this year. And, you know, I'm leaning with the Redskins, but I lost last week with the Ravens, full disclosure. I took the 7. I thought Dallas was vulnerable. I think they're vulnerable here once again. And one thing, you know, with the Washington Redskins is, yeah, the Cowboys are 9-1 against the spread. You know, the Redskins aren't money burners either, man. These guys are very robust, 7-3 against the spread as well. With the stumbles out of the gate in week one and week two against Pittsburgh and Dallas. Since week two, man, the Redskins have been on fire as well.
Last week I went over Drew Brees on completions because I said the secondary would be playing back. Same thing's going to be happening today. The Dallas secondary is going to be playing back, giving up short passes. So you could look for Kirk Cousins to have a lot of success. Jordan Reed should do very well today on these short routes. And you know what? I'm going to go under. I'm going to give you a prop. I'm going to go under on punts. 8.5, I found. These teams don't punt a lot. If you look in the last 5-6 games, they've only went over a couple times that number. Both of them went over that when they played the Philadelphia Eagles. But outside of that, you got a lot of 5s and 4s and 7s. And when these teams played back, as you mentioned a while ago, what was it, week 2, I think they punted 5 times. I don't see them getting 8.5, more than 8.5 punts here.
Interesting. I like it. I like thinking outside the box. I like where you're going with that, Paul. And the Dallas Cowboys do like to play ball possession. The Washington Redskins are very aggressive. Gruden's aggressive, throwing the ball down the field. You know, before we get to the Pittsburgh game, looking at the props here. Cousins, 26.5. I think he gets there. But at the same point in time, you know, normally I want it to be a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers without a running back or a Drew Brees when I go over 26.5. You know, you look at Cousins' numbers, he doesn't always throw the ball that much or that many completions. He's more of a 22 to 24 type guy. He did complete 28 in week two against them. 305.5 yards, a little bit high as well, but the ball is going to be thrown through the air. I've been cashing, Paul, with the 1.5 touchdown passes props. We got Kirk Cousins over under 1.5. I got to lay some juice on it. He's 2 or more touchdown passes in 5 of the last 6 games. He's got 6 games with 2 or more on the season, including 5 of the last 6. I think we can get to the 1.5. And a wide receiver that I like, actually, and, you know, on DraftKings, I see he's dirt cheap. I see all the fantasy experts are always, oh, Pierre Garçon this, Pierre Garçon that. Pierre Garçon is a reliable wide receiver for Kirk Cousins. The prop is 4.5 catches today. DeSean Jackson's always in and out of the damn lineup. He's never on the field, Paul. Garcon's reliable. Dude has five or more catches in the Redskins' five of the last six games and seven out of 10 games combined this year. I like Garcon over 4.5 today.
Gabe, I don't like those receiver props because there's too many options with the Redskins. So that could break your heart. If he throws in the other direction or they double cover him. So I tend to stay away from receiver props unless it's the tight end. And I think he'll find Jordan Reed. I'm not saying you're going to be wrong on this.
No, I hear where you're going. There's certain teams, yeah. You're right, they do spray the ball around a lot. But Garcon's been very, very reliable. Reed is his guy, obviously. But you're right, there are certain teams, like the Pittsburgh wide receivers. I generally stay away, man. I don't know from week to week between Eli Rogers and Sammy Coates, and you already have Bell, you already have Brown. So I hear where you're going. I understand the angle. But I generally don't do a ton of the wide receiver props, but I'm comfortable with this one. I guess we'll find out in a couple hours. And conversely, Cole Beasley as well. Beasley and Dak had a rapport since day one when he got there. Beasley, 4.5. He's got five or more in four of his last five football games as well. So let's talk about the Pittsburgh-Indianapolis game tonight. How do you approach this with Tolzien being a quarterback, Paul?
It could be a good thing, Gabe. They don't have any game film on this guy. He's been around for, 6 years from Wisconsin? They got no game film on him, so they really can't prepare for him. I don't know how good he is. You know, you're holding a clipboard for 6 years, worked out pretty good for Aaron Rodgers when he stepped in for Brett Favre, and I don't think much of the Pittsburgh defense. Now, on the other side of the ball, I'll tell you this. There's no way Indianapolis is going to be able to stop Pittsburgh, especially if Vontae Davis is out and he's gimpy with a bad ankle, may or may not play, limited practice this week. But you got Clayton Gethers out. Now, nobody knows who Clayton Gethers is. He happens to be the leading tackler for Indy, 59 tackles. He's their safety. If this guy is out, off this team, which has not held an opponent under 22 points this year except for last week against Tennessee, I don't see how the Pittsburgh Steelers don't put up 35 points.
Well, you and I are on the same page yet. So you like any over then in this game? Because I'm, 49.5. Now, first off, it seems to be an excessive overreaction. I mean, 8 points is incredibly high when you consider they're both 5-5 football teams. Tolzien, he hasn't been good. He started once. I guess he started twice, and he got pulled. But once he started, he threw for 339 yards in the game, but he also threw for three interceptions. He's got one career touchdown pass, 5 career picks. Great point that you bring up, and I had that circled as well. Clayton Gathers, their safety, leading tackler. He's under the concussion protocol. Vontae Davis could miss this football game tonight. They'd already be screwed with those two without him. Yeah, Pittsburgh are always banged up. They need the win. I see a heavy dose of Le'Veon Bell tonight. I like Le'Veon Bell over 82.5 rushing yards, Paul.
Funny thing is, I my brother's a big Steeler fan, and I texted him a few minutes ago, and I said Bell should have a huge game. I was waiting for his response. But I wholeheartedly agree with you, because if their safety is out, that is huge for the running game, and there's no cheating here because Pittsburgh's receivers are too good and Roethlisberger is too good, so there's no cheating. Bell should have a huge game. He started off heavy last week, gained about 40-something yards in the first quarter, slowed down quite a bit, and I think they'll continue to feed him. As far as the number and overreaction, you don't know if it's an overreaction or an underreaction. Look, if this guy's no better than Curtis Painter, remember him?
Yeah.
Then 8 points is a huge bargain.
I think
he couldn't play a lick.
I think that he might be.
I don't know how good this guy is.
I think he might be better than Curtis Painter. I think he's probably a little better than Curtis Painter was.
Probably, but the fear of the unknown is probably greater than any other fear out there. And that's what people are wagering on the basis of. They don't know how good he is, so they're just going to assume the Pittsburgh Steelers are the superior team and they'll lay anything, and that's what's happening right now.
One thing we can say about Scott Tolzien is he was a winning quarterback at college. in college with the Wisconsin Badgers. So he is, he's a serviceable, reliable guy. He was a, you know, he was a good college quarterback in a winning program. Painter was sort of erratic at Purdue. Purdue were all over the place. So Tolzien's been, you know, in winning programs with, you know, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Badgers, and now the Indianapolis Colts. You're right, there's an unknown. My deal is, though, you know, Frank Gore's actually surprised me, Paul. I think Gore has had more life than I thought that he had left in him. But with that being stated, you know, you got a backup quarterback. All right, let's try to run the football a little bit. Well, that's all cute, but the Indianapolis Colts have the 25th ranked rushing attack in the National Football League.
The Indianapolis Colts are in a lot of trouble, but I do think that they're going to score some points here because of the Pittsburgh defense. The Pittsburgh defense just isn't good. Hey, they come off a great effort against the Cleveland Browns in a monsoon. Looks good on paper, but the reality is double back against the Dallas Cowboys, and they couldn't do anything. So I think the Indianapolis Colts, in the confines of their own home and in a dome, they could probably score 20 to 24 points here, which is going to be ample to get this over the number. If this quarterback is serviceable, as you say, because it won't take much more than that to get 20 points against the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, we should note the Steelers actually give up 21.5 points per game. They're scoring 23.8 points per game. You would expect the Steelers' offense to be a little bit more potent than this, but, of course, Big Ben was out. The Colts are scoring 26.3 points per game, and they're giving up 27. So, yeah, you know, I hear where you're going with this, and I like the teaser to the under in this game. You got me worried right now. Because it really comes down to Tolzien. If he's not terrible, this game goes over the number pretty easily. Because you're right. I don't see how the Steelers aren't putting 30 up, right? 28, 30 points, 31 points. I'd like to see what's the team total for the Pittsburgh Steelers, actually?
Well, it varies from 28.5, laying heavy juice. I got it actually at Chris a few minutes ago, right around there, and it's up at 30.5. I think some of the sharper books or some of the books that are trying to ward off that kind of money have set the number 30.5, which based on the spread is inflated, because if you take an 8-point spread and go 30.5, 22.5, you're up at 53 points. It should not be there, but hey, books are in business to balance it out and not get beaten up. And you know, they could get beaten up on this. Like, again, Indianapolis has not held teams in check. They only have 3 interceptions the entire year. That's horrendous. I think 18 touchdowns against 3 interceptions. Where are their defenders? And now your safety's out and Avonta Davis is out. It's going to be like the Warriors playing the Lakers last night.
That was, we know what happened there. Actually, I cashed a nice ticket on that. I laid the 17, which I don't often do, and cashed the over. It's funny, I was actually worried about the over at one point. Listen, the Colts are 7-3 to the over as well on the season, sitting at 49.5 right now. Paul, so before we get you out of here, kind of tough for props. I don't know about the books you're looking at right now, but when I was putting the show together about an hour before the show today, most books, they didn't have anything out as far as props for the Steelers game yet. But I did find a couple of numbers. Le'Veon Bell, 82.5, which I was surprised, felt a little low right there. I think he had a 147 last week. I think there'll be a heavy dose of Bell tonight. Big Ben Roethlisberger's was 282.5 yards tonight as well, Paul.
Well, I think both of those are pretty safe overs. I got Bell right here. I'm looking at it, and I looked at it a few minutes ago, and I'm just going to confirm that it's still 86.5.
86.5 online. All right.
That's what I'm seeing. 86.5 on Bell.
You know what? That's still playable. That's still playable.
He's going to have 110 yards tonight, Gabe. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Play it.
If not more. What do you think about Elliott's number? 111.5 yards I saw.
That's just up there.
It's high.
I don't like playing those numbers. I just don't. Too many things can happen. They could fall behind, and anything can happen.
I agree. That's why it's manageable with Belly. You know, even if it was like 90, if it was 96 and a half, it'd be like, not so much. But in the 80s, I think there's some value there. All right, Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy your Thanksgiving today. Look forward to seeing you again. Check out Paul over at VegasInsider.com. His record and all of his documented picks are right there. It's always a pleasure, Paul.
Take care, Gabe.
All right, Paul Bovey with us. All right, we're going to continue to talk some props. We're going to break down the remaining props on the board. We'll talk some DFS as well. Chris Meany joins me in studio. We're going to talk Grey Cup a little bit later on with my main man, Babano, from SportsMemo.com. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network. Great stuff with Paul Bovey breaking it down. We're going to talk some DFS, some props, and some games with Chris Meany. Chris, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'm ready to go. I don't know what you can see. Look at the socks. I got the little turkey socks. Can you get a little close-up on that? No? Camera 2? You don't want to? Okay.
The socks are cool. Socks are cool.
Yeah, not bad. Not as nice as Zach Wolf's Storm jersey,
They actually
though.
Match the jersey, though.
Yeah.
You got to show the socks, though. Like, yeah. You show me. Like,
there,
you got to actually...
Hey, camera 1, get in on these socks. I'm not gonna lift. All right, on the
come
desk.
On. Yeah, I was gonna say you're like an old lady. You can't. Meany's like, yeah, there you go.
There you go. Look at that little turkey, guys. Oh, baby.
Let's hope your picks aren't little turkeys. you like the Guelph. We had a lot of compliments.
I like the jersey. Yeah.
Not a lot of people are rocking the Guelph Storm jersey.
No.
And it's a funny story how I got this. I actually got invited to drop the puck at a Kitchener Ranger Guelph Storm hockey, Ontario Hockey League game years ago.
Yeah.
I was a guest of the Kitchener Rangers, except they weren't...
Is that the Landeskog days? Or
yeah, it was Landeskog, yeah. And Drew Doughty was actually on the Guelph Storm.
Okay.
So when I came out to drop the puck, I got like mild applause. I got booed a bit. Like, you know, it was one of those just an arena full of people. Gabriel Morenci, I'm waving. The Guelph Storm players were way more excited than the Kitchener guys. I noticed, like, you know, because they're all, and
fans.
I look over, and they're all banging the stick. They're all like, hey, that's the guy that does the show with the fat guy. They're all like, I can hear them. I love that guy. I love that guy. And like, the Guelph Storm were all like giving me the thumbs up and stuff. So I dropped the puck, and it was Landeskog and Doughty. Doughty was like the captain and stuff.
Yeah.
So I shake their hands. So, you know, we watched the game, and whatever, we stayed in Kitchener to watch the game. About a week later, man, I get contacted from the Guelph Storm. And they're all like, listen, we know that you were a guest of Kitchener, but screw them. We're better than they are. And they sent me, like, all this stuff.
That's
Kitchener
awesome.
Didn't give me anything.
Wow.
No, like, Kitchener let me keep the puck that I dropped. That's I left with the puck.
Thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thanks for this puck.
Like, I was expecting some swag.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I was all like,
yeah. Like, at least a T-shirt.
Yeah, we go out there. Yeah, I was going to get a Kitchener Ranger jersey or something. Guelph.
With the tie-up and everything.
Yeah, Guelph were like, they sent me, like, big banners, jerseys, hats.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, so I'm part of Team Storm right now.
Yeah,
shout out to my boy, Drew Doughty.
Yeah, with the no teeth, Duke Doughty's awesome.
And you know what's crazy? There was a goalie that plays right now for the Oceanic in Rimouski.
Yeah.
Of course, where Sidney Crosby and Mike Ribeiro played.
Yep.
Brad Richards.
Yeah.
Amongst many others. It's a hockey factory out there in Rimouski in the middle of nowhere. But the goalie, his name's Gabriel Morenci.
Oh.
He's actually from Montreal. Same name from Montreal.
Have you tried to contact him?
Yeah, we've spoken to each other. And it's amazing because people are like, dude, he's got the same name as yours. And so there was a rumor on the internet that he was my kid. You know, he's actually not my kid. Because I asked him, too. I said, by any chance, like, who's your mother? Because I put the math together. I was like, you know what? Because I DM'd him. I'm like, where are you born anyway? He's like, right outside of Montreal. I'm like, really, huh? I'm like, do you know your father? I basically, like, how do you ask?
Yeah, dude.
I was like, so do you know your parents?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I live with him. So,
like, so clearly then we're not
related. I basically asked him, like, is your mother a rocker? And he's like, no.
Was he fired up, though, that you told him, like, the same name? Because I...
It's crazy.
Well, I was at a bar here in Toronto, and, you know, I was in the line, and it was, like, an Irishman or something. It wasn't St. Paddy's Day, but I saw one guy, his ID, and it was Chris Meaney, and I was fired up. I was like, Chris Meaney, wow, that's so cool. He didn't care at all. He was just like, oh, yeah, I'm from Ireland. Like, there's, like, 100 Chris Meaney.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no, get Meaney, out of my face, Meaney, but I'm like,
I thought
Smith.
It was fantastic.
It's like,
right?
Smith in the United States.
I was like, let me buy you a drink. He's like, no, thanks.
No, but Gabriel Morency in Montreal is a rare deal, right? Yeah, so, yeah. He was the player of the week. So I'm going to ride his bandwagon. If he gets, if he makes it to the league, I'm going to be one of those, like, deadbeat dads.
Yeah.
I'm going to come out of the blue. That's my son. I demand a paternity test. I'm owed. I'll be like Lindsay Lohan's father, Michael, a big jerk. All right. So, nevertheless, Skins and the Cowboys on the board. Steelers and Colts. The Skins game and Cowboys game is so damn tough because the Cowboys have covered 9 straight games, yet it's like, man, you're getting 6 points. And I just told, we talked about this with Bovey, Chris. Yeah, the Cowboys are 9-1 against the spread, which is awesome. They didn't cover, they didn't win in week one. They've 9 straight since then. The Redskins are 7-3 against the spread. They didn't cover their first 2 games.
Yeah.
Take away since week 2, man. These guys are on a 7-1 ATS run right now. 7 of the last 8 games they've covered.
Yeah, and it's a lot has changed since those first 2 games, Gabe. And yeah, to me, I jumped on it earlier in the week when it was 7.5 for Dallas. It's division rivals, man. I think it's going to be a tight game. I mean, I know Kirk Cousins is not as good on the road as he is at home, but that offense, the third best offense in the league right now, I don't feel like they'll be able to run the ball with Rob Kelly against that Dallas defense. And I think that Dallas, the way that they play, they like to slow the pace down a little bit. Washington's got a lot of weapons. I think they keep this game close. I'm on Washington.
All right.
I actually think they might win this game.
You know what? You think they can win the game outright? I thought Baltimore could upset them last week outright.
I know a lot of people have been just waiting for Dallas to lose. A lot of rumors, a lot of talk in the office a couple weeks ago. Cleveland's going to win. Baltimore's going to win. I wasn't on board with any of that. I wasn't feeling any of that.
What was this about Michael Irvin? Was Michael Irvin saying that they need to lose this game?
I don't know. I don't feel...
To bring them down to earth.
Yeah.
Like, no, they don't need to lose this game to bring them down to earth. They lose this game, it's going to be chaos in Dallas.
If they lose this game...
take one loss, 2 losses, people are like, put Romo in.
And then if Washington wins, they get a game closer. And if the Giants win in Cleveland, all of a sudden that division is not a cakewalk the rest of the way for Dallas. So this definitely is a game that they need to win. I haven't seen much on Urban. I know he's a Dallas guy, but this morning they were asking him like over under 2 touchdowns for Dez today. And he was like, yeah, over. He's going to get 3. So I don't know if he's going to get 3 on Josh Norman. But
hey, the Minnesota Vikings just made a field goal since they booted Walsh to the curb. 10-10. Yeah. 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Hey, we are live, so I wanted to get you an update. Or let's jump into some DFS/props. But you think the Redskins can win outright, and you think the Pittsburgh Steelers roll the Colts tonight?
Yeah, I do. I think, Big Ben, I know he's a different quarterback, much like Cousins on the road, but his last 2 games against the Colts, he's thrown for 866 yards and 10 touchdowns. He's been dominant against them. Vontae Davis expected to play in this game, but in a walking boot all week. You got Bell, you got Brown, it sets up so nicely without Andrew Luck there. Moncrief is limited.
Clayton Gathers, the safety for the Colts.
Exactly. I mean, their secondary is a mess to begin with. So I think Big Ben is a great play. I mean, I have a lineup with Ben, Bell, Elliott, and Brown. All four of those guys. I got Baldwin in there who, he's $3,300. He's got a touchdown so far today. And then I'm going with the cheap tight ends. I mean, I got Allen and Green. I don't expect much from them. But I do expect much from Bell, Brown, and Ben, like all 3 of those guys.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, $7,300. If you're playing in the 2-game contest,
he's expensive, yeah.
It's 70 out of all the quarterbacks. So Ben, 73, Dak, 63, Kirk's 59, Tolzien's 5.
5,000, yeah.
Now, I don't want to spend the money on Ben. He's put up those big numbers, but the Luck was playing then in these track meet 51-34 games. I like Le'Veon Bell a lot. Dak Prescott's putting up nice fantasy numbers now.
He is.
He's 3 touchdowns a game type of guy. Yet Kirk is a fantasy machine at $5,900. I think Kirk Cousins is the best value pick today out of these 4.
I agree. I think he is
at $5,900.
Well, and all of his weapons are fairly cheap, too. I mean, Pierre Garçon is under $4,000. Deshaun Jackson, who always shows
up in
these division
games as well. We'll go down to position
here. Get ahead of myself. Well, you're talking about Kirk Cousins. I'm talking about his weapons. How am I not supposed to talk about his weapons
when I
talk about Kirk? Okay, I like Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to be fine. We'll talk about his weapon shortly.
Yes, exactly. It's called the buildup. Otherwise, you tell everyone.
He's got to be fired up. I'm ready to go.
Exactly.
Here.
All right. Running backs. All right. Le'Veon Bell. Ooh, expensive. Sounds expensive. $9,000. Not expensive, Mom. Shut up. $9,000. I think he goes off, man. His betting prop is 82.5. We had to resort to pro line numbers this morning. Books had the props. Good old OLG came through with some early morning numbers.
What, 82 total? 82.5
rushing yards.
Okay, rushing yards.
Oh, total yards, he might have 200.
I think the over-under is like, I think he gets over 175 total.
What did he rush for last week, 147?
Yeah, and it's because he catches so many balls, right? He lines up as a wide receiver. You saw him get a receiving touchdown the other day. And the yak yards, he's number one in football by far.
I think he's the biggest player of the game. I think he's the star of the game tonight.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh are 5-5, guys. They need to win the game.
Yes.
They're not worried about your fantasy lineups.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, yeah, they might hang 48 up on the board, but either way, man, and they don't want to get Ben hurt. You know what I mean? It's going to be a lot of running. I think Bell's going to, you know, he's going to be a bell cow tonight. $9,000. Elliott's 8,500. I'd rather Bell instead of Elliott in this spot. Gore's 52. You figure he's going to get the ball a lot.
Yeah, and he's been catching. I mean, he has 15 catches in his last three or four games. So he's been. But the thing is like, there's no luck, right? So, I mean, luck being there. Stop. And then it's like, what are they going to be able to move the ball?
I think the best value, Chris, is Kelly at 4,300.
He is great value, and he's been pretty good lately. I just think he struggles in this game. I don't think the yardage is going to be there for him because he's going to have a hard time running up against that defense in Dallas. So I think that Kirk Cousins throws the ball a little bit. Maybe he'll fall in the end zone in a goal line touchdown. He has done that lately. I mean, you look at last week, he had 3 touchdowns. But I just don't think this is a great spot. I'd rather play Gore. You missed out on the early game with Ritter catching balls as he had a fell in the end zone today. Maybe that's what happens with Kelly. But I think that they just throw the ball a lot on Dallas. That's what I think Washington does today.
And finally, in closing, the wide receivers.
Well, there you go. Well, who do you like?
I mean, we've got Brown. Great. Yeah, a lot of options. Brown's 9,200. No, pass. The prop is 7.5 catches. Holy crap. I'm staying away from that. Hilton, $7,900. Hard to know what to expect, though, with Tolzien. Jameson Crowder, $5,800.
Beasley.
3 100-yard-plus games in his last 4 games. I love Beasley. You know that. I know you do, too.
Yeah.
People never buy into him. He's got a great rapport with Dak Prescott. People don't realize this. From day one, they were working together, man.
Even in the red zone. Yeah. We saw him get a red zone touchdown last
Even
week.
When Dez is there, Beasley gets his, and he's cheap. I'm betting over 4.5 catches today for Beasley. I like him at 5,000. And a player, dude, that doesn't get any respect, Garcon. $3,900, the guy.
100 yards last week.
He's got over 5 catches in 5 of the last 6 games.
Yeah, the way that I try to look at this game with Dez is that you figure Josh Norman's going to try to give him fits like he did before in the past, the Carolina-Dallas, and he showed up. And then maybe it's just a safety valve for guys like Witten. Dak obviously looks his way.
Yep.
And he's looking Beasley's way, too. So, yeah, Beasley is safe as they come, especially in a PPR format.
And Deshaun Jackson, I want no part of it.
It's like hit or miss, yeah. He shows up in these division games, but it's hard to trust. I'd much rather just...
Thing with Deshaun is he might catch like a 34-yard touchdown. You're going to be like, oh, man, I'm glad I played him this week. And then you're going to see him, and Deshaun Jackson's going to the locker room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
then
he's back, and then he's out. It's like, I've been benching him, man, because I can't. Is Watkins back this week?
Well, I saw a quote from Rex. It was just like, if he's not healthy, he won't play. Maybe he's learned his lesson from LeSean McCoy not being healthy. I don't know. Maybe he plays a few snaps.
So if he's not healthy now, how is he healthy enough to play in week one against Baltimore?
Yeah, you don't want to play him this week, though. Even clearly, he's not 100%. It's
Jacksonville. You're right. You're right. All right, we got to get out of here. Yeah. Great Cup next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live as we speak right now. The Minnesota Vikings and Detroit Lions still locked up at 10. I don't like where this is going, man. And I got money on the Lions, but we knew this coming in, right? I mean, they've been trailing in all 10 games. They've trailed in all 10 games in the fourth quarter this year, yet they managed to win 6 of them. We knew this was going to be a heart attack. I tell you, man, a shot out of the gate. They scored a lot of points, 7-7 quickly. Locked up at 10 right now. Minnesota got the field goal. Detroit was like quickly 3 and out, punted the ball to Minnesota. Right now, Minnesota's 2nd-and-7 on their own 17-yard line. We'll keep our eye on this, but let's talk some Grey Cup right now, man. There's been some line movement. The Calgary Stampeders take on the Ottawa Redblacks. Let's bring in Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, from sportsmemo.com. Babano, it's always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm running on 2 hours sleep this month, Gabe, but other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's you know, you're going to get even less over the next couple of days, man. It's a huge, huge weekend of football action, including the 104th Grey Cup at BMO Field in Toronto. Calgary Stampeders are 9.5-point favorites. The total's 54.5. For those of you wondering about weather, there's going to be a little bit of wind, and the stadium is a very windy part of Toronto. It's right off of Lake Ontario, so I will expect some wind, but by Canadian Grey Cup standards, weather really will not be that much of a factor. The Stampeders, a dominant team, 16-2-1 straight up this year, 14-5 against the spread. The Red Blacks are 9-9-1 straight up, 8-11 against the spread. They played twice. They played a 26-26 tie earlier in the season, and then most recently, Calgary kicked the crap out of them. 48-23, Babano. So let's do this thing. What do you think?
Fascinating game. And obviously, Gabe, the first thing I checked was the weather forecast. And you're right. For late November, Toronto, BMO Field, by the lake, the weather is not that bad for this football game. It's not expected to be much precipitation, if at all. Temperatures aren't going to be bone-chilling cold. The wind is not going to be that big of a factor. We're looking at a situation where both teams should be able to operate specifically offensively well enough without the weather conditions impeding them. Interesting thing to note when you're looking at this game, when you look back at the two meetings that Ottawa and Calgary played this year, Trevor Harris was the quarterback for the Ottawa Red Blacks in both of those games. So Henry Burris has yet to face this Calgary team this season. With Henry Burris, it's been one of those situations where he's gotten in one of his patented zones late in the season where he puts together, you know, 3, 4, sometimes 5 really good performances at the quarterback position, and then he'll have sometimes those couple of games in between. You know they're going to show up with Henry Burris. That's just the way he is, where he's just not quite that same quarterback. He's making mistakes. He's throwing interceptions. He's throwing into double coverage, just forcing it a little bit. But right now, he's given this Ottawa team a big jolt at the quarterback position. My concern is, where are the stops going to come from for this Ottawa defense on the other side of the ball? Bo Levi Mitchell and this Calgary offense, they've been pretty much a shoe-in, Gabe, for 30 points at least in like 11 of their last 13 games. They have just been, no defense has been able to solve them, none whatsoever. They've got a great balanced attack. Tavares Daniels, Kamar Jordan, I think a very young, improving group of receivers have been fantastic for Mitchell in the passing game. Jerome Messam, the best running back as far as I'm concerned in the CFL, because he can wear down defenses late in games. He's a physical, bruising, hard type of running back that wears down defensive lines late in games. He's probably going to be able to do that here, because this Ottawa defensive line against Calgary's offensive line, Morency, a little undersized, that's going to be a concern late in this game. You know, it's not a bargain to bet on Calgary, rather, by any stretch, but I'm at the point, Morency, where I just don't want to put a dime against the Stampeders right now. This has been the class of the CFL from start to finish, and I think they're going to take the Grey Cup here on Sunday.
Yeah, you know what? You want to be pulling for Henry Burris quarterbacking against his former team. I had Nick Lewis, one of his former teammates, on, longtime Calgary Stampeder, two-time Grey Cup champion, played in numerous Grey Cups with the Stampeders over the years. And I asked him, I said, you know, Calgary are always generally the best team, but they haven't always gotten it done in the Grey Cup. Why? And he basically said, because of Burris's mistakes in the past in big games.
Yep.
Yet Burris has had a chip on his shoulder this year. We saw that he told the TSN guys off. Normally he was always, you know, smiling Hank. Hank's not always smiling anymore. And that used to be the knock against him, actually. I'm friends with a guy that played with him in Calgary as well. And he told me that Hank's too nice, actually. He doesn't take charge enough in the huddle. That was earlier in his career. He's lost that right now. So you want to see him be successful. But as you stated, this Calgary team, they might be one of the best Canadian Football League teams in the history of the league, Babano, this edition of the team. You know, they score 33.1 points per game. They're only giving up 20. Weather's not a factor, so I imagine that Calgary will get their 33 points. They're going to get 33, 35, 37 points in this game. Calgary give up 20. Ottawa score 27. I can see them falling into this average. You know, a 37-24 game wouldn't surprise me here, but I like the over of this game, and I think a Calgary Stampeder teaser to the over is pretty healthy too.
I do too. And speaking of Nick Lewis, he's a great interview every time you've had him on the show. Really interesting, insightful, entertaining stuff with him. But yeah, I agree with you in terms of this over. I think it'll be a higher scoring affair. And let's not forget, Henry Burris is going to go all out. This could be one of his, if not his final, very last chance at winning a Grey Cup here. If Ottawa falls behind by 10 or 14 points in the second half of this game, they're not going conservative. They're opening up the playbook. They're going to try to take shots down the field.
They have good wide receivers, man. They are playmakers.
You know? They do.
Nick Lewis said that Ernest Jackson is the best wide receiver in the league, in his opinion.
And I think they're going to have to throw the ball, Gabe, because Keenan LaFrance, I give him credit. He stepped in for an injured Trayvon Vann at running back. He had 157 rushing yards last week against Edmonton. I would be shocked if he's doing that against Calgary here in this game. Calgary's got the number one rush defense in the CFL. They're a little bit vulnerable against the pass. Only number three against the pass in terms of passing yards allowed. So Ottawa, if they're going to make plays and move the ball, I think it's going to be through the air in this game. You look at Calgary, they've been an over machine down the stretch of the season. Both division finals flew over the total last week, and I think we'll get something similar here in this game.
Babano, all right, we got to be quick. You only got about a minute or so. Any props catch your eye? Is there some props being popping up right now?
I see Bo Levi Mitchell, 1.5 touchdown passes. You have to lay some juice here. I like over there, 1.5 at minus 180. It's a pretty hefty juice tag, but I don't mind laying juice with props if I think it's a high percentage positive expectation wager, and I think we've got that here. You look at Mitchell, 2 touchdown passes at least in both games against Ottawa, 3 touchdown passes against BC in the West Final, 2 against Winnipeg, 3 touchdowns and 2 touchdowns in 2 games against Edmonton. He's a big game quarterback, and those are games against great teams, some of the best teams.
All right, let's give you something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. Let's start off with a 7-point teaser. The Washington Redskins tease to the over. So we're getting the Skins in the plus 13 range, tease to the over 45. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. Redskins, Cowboys over 52. 7-point teaser. Pittsburgh Steelers to the over. I was thinking about the under, but I always get screwed to the under. So we're going to tease this game to the over. We're going to lay the 8 points with the Steelers. Kirk Cousins over 1.5 touchdown passes. Love that prop. Pierre Garçon over 4.5 catches. Got over 4.5. Catching 5 at the Redskins last 6 games. Cole Beasley is a reception machine. Let's go over 4.5 receptions. Long a field goal, baby. Washington, Dallas over 44.5. Le'Veon Bell over 82.5 rushing yards. And we wrap it up with a long field goal play indoors in Indianapolis. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.